Regular listeners might have noticed my love for weird and wonderful creatures. One such creature is the axolotl, a species of salamander from Mexico. Now, there are lots of cool things about axolotls. My favourite is the fact that they're essentially baby amphibians. They have gills and live in water and never metamorphose the way other salamanders do into an adult amphibious form. Another top axolotl fact is that they can completely regenerate lost limbs multiple times. So they've ended up being used loads for research into not just regeneration of tissues, but things like organ transplants and cancer as well. And finally, in case you needed any more convincing that axolotls are cool, they just look really funny. Since I can't show you a photo of one and you might not have access to image search right now, I've actually printed out some photos. And Benjamin, I was hoping you could help us out by describing for us what an axolotl actually looks like.
Okay, then, Seema, here we go. They look kind of like an amphibian or maybe even a kind of a lizard, I guess. They've got four limbs. They've got quite an elongated body and a bit of a tail there. Like me, they're very pale skinned. They also have these kind of three little appendages coming out of their head on each side in kind of like a Medusa head kind of thing going on there. And most importantly, they look super cute. They all kind of look a bit smiley.
They do look cute, don't they? That was a good description, actually. The Medusa heads are gills, if we're going to be slightly more biologically accurate. But yeah, that's pretty much what I thought certainly an axolotl looked like. But I've actually found out this week that quite a lot of my axolotl facts are wrong. So first off, in the wild, they're not actually white like these ones in the pictures. They're a dark brownish colour, which presumably blends in with their environment a bit better. And secondly, I found out that not everyone pronounces axolotl the same.
Well, in Spanish, it's axolotl, actually.
This is Luis Zambrano, an axolotl expert based in Mexico City. And Mexico City is really the place to be for an axolotl expert, since the canals and lakes in and around the city are the creature's natural habitat. It doesn't seem like the most obvious place for an unusual salamander to be found, and neither is it the kind of place Luis Zambrano expected his career as a biologist to take him.
I mean, normally biologists here in Mexico, because we have a large areas of high biodiversity, as a biologist, you normally want to go to a coastal area or a very preserved area. We have a lot of very nice tropical rainforest areas or shore areas. And nobody cares about urban areas.
But the urban waterways of Mexico City are now something Luis cares about a lot. Not just because they're the only place you can find wild axolotls, but also because of another important fact about axolotls that I didn't know. Despite being found in pet shops all over the world, they are critically endangered in the wild.
We started to study the axolotls, the population density of the axolotls, and made a comparison between this population analysis that we made in 2002 and other ones that a previous researcher did in 1998. And we found that the axolotl was, the density was reduced in a sixfold. So we made a population viability analysis to see what is happening with these animals, and we found that if we didn't do anything, it will be extinct by 2025 or something like that in the wild.
It's not entirely surprising that Mexico City doesn't create the best home for a rare salamander. The axolotls have to face polluted water, noise, a lack of food, and getting eaten by introduced fish like carp and tilapia. Researchers like Luis need to find ways to combat all these varied threats.
It's not as easy as because we are in the middle of the city. It's not like you are in the middle of a preserved area far away from any civilization. Here we have to work with 20 million people at the same time. So after many discussions with other biologists and ecologists, we found that the best way to restore the axolotls is to return to the traditional agriculture, to do it properly without pesticides and herbicides, to work with the traditional agriculture called chinampas.
It seems that the axolotls in the lakes here have always lived side by side with humans, going back to pre-Columbian times when ancient civilizations such as the Aztecs or Mexica people founded cities here. The Aztec method of agriculture may even have benefited the native salamanders.
The chinampas are islands that the people built from the mud of the lake. And so all the time they are completely fertilized and they are with water all the time. So it's easy to have two, three or four different crops around their year. That's the reason the Aztecs established here, because they had food all the time. So these chinampas are these square islands that they generate a lot of shore areas, and the shore areas are the perfect place for the axolotls to survive because they need areas to hide, need areas to feed.
Researchers like Luis have started to work with local farmers to create axolotl refuges in the city's canals and to encourage them to make money from axolotl-friendly produce.
People said, no, you have to buy a lot of area and then you generate a huge sanctuary of axolotls. And I said, that doesn't work because in the moment that we leave, then it will be destroyed. So we have to work with the people. And actually, the idea started to come from the people that is working there. And they said, okay, when we don't work with pesticides, we see that the canals are by far better, in better shape. So we started to generate common knowledge between local people and the science in order to see how these refuges should be done and how they should sell this product in order to have better income, in order to encourage other people to do the same thing as they are doing.
This is clearly going to be a big challenge for Luis and other axolotl conservationists, and it's really important work. Axolotls are on the brink of extinction in the wild, and although there will be plenty left in labs and aquariums, a huge amount of genetic diversity will be lost. Captive axolotls are extremely inbred, being descended from only a small group of wild animals. They suffer from various mutations, including ending up with the wrong number of digits, and are very susceptible to diseases. Supporting the wild populations could be vital for future research. It's not an easy task, but Luis is prepared.
This challenge is one of the things that I like a lot. It's a very highly complex systems, and we have to consider which are the important variables here, social, ecological, and economical, in order to see how we solve this very complex system.
That was Luis Zambrano of the National Autonomous University of Mexico. He's been interviewed for a feature that's coming out in next week's issue of Nature, and which includes even more fun facts about axolotls. Keep your eye on nature.com/news for that. And Benjamin, that was an excellent description of an axolotl there, so I just wanted to say thanks a lotl. Sorry.